Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for January the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. As you know, we follow the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. When they tell you we're anti-government, they flat-out lie to you, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for the proper role of limited, constitutional, godly government. And ladies and gentlemen, we believe the checks and balances are absolutely brilliant. One of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. So we'd like to welcome Dr. Scott Bradley to the broadcast once again. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. His collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation, always available. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. You give the reminder about my website, freedomsrisingsun.com, and I will also tell you that the nefarious schemers of the high-tech world have decimated the material that's available on that site right now. We're trying to regroup with that. I mean, they took 1,500 videos that we had so painstakingly put together for the edification of those that wanted to preserve the nation and to understand the principles that founded this great land. And they're just gone. Poof, gone. I mean, it's so disappointing. You can still buy my book there and my the lectures that go with it and so on. There's a few white papers, but boy, I'll tell you, it's like been laid waste by the locusts of the high-tech lizards, if you will.
Our prayers are that we can recover that website, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, freedomsrisingsun.com, he's doing his best to stay alive. Those who want to destroy liberty and destroy free speech really realize that education is the key. If we are a moral, educated people, man, there's nothing that can stop the greatest country on the face of the earth and the economic engine that underpins it. But if you literally destroy the economic engine with dishonest money, and then you destroy the knowledge that the people have, they can't protect or save themselves any faster than they have knowledge. And the enemies know that, ladies and gentlemen. I've got good news, though, to kick off. There's a new group, as you know, called Brighteon, and it's owned by Mike Adams, the health ranger. Naturalnews.com is what he's known for. He's been around for a long time. He's an incredible scientist. He's really done I don't even know how to cover how much great work the guy has done. Well, anyway, Mike Adams put together what's called Brighteon.tv. That's Brighteon.tv. And Sheriff Mack does what's called the Sheriff Mack Show every Tuesday, second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. Well, since I'm the operations director for the CSPOA, I'm the co-host, so Sheriff Mack and I do the show together on Tuesdays. Well, we simulcast that on Liberty Roundtable Live. So you've got the Sheriff Mack Show and Liberty Roundtable Live, Tuesday's second hour, basically shared. It's a simulcast between radio and TV, which is really great news. But it gets even better because now Mike Adams and his associates are going to launch. It's available, it's up and running now, but it launches officially on Monday the 10th. And it's called Brighteon Radio. So Brighteon Radio launches January the 10th, and they call it Free Speech Audio for Humanity, BrighteonRadio.com. You say, Sam, why are you promoting that? Because they've agreed to take the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live Monday through Friday now, along with a bunch of other incredible talk show hosts. They're building something amazing, and all that does is increase our distribution, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that is absolutely good news. They have a pretty big footprint. There's a lot of people that go there and look at them. And the only concern I would have is that there's so much material that's on that website. I hope you don't get lost. I hope they give you some kind of prominent, preeminent, kind of a position and face so that it'll be in there. You know, it's interesting. A couple of times you've inferred, you've talked about education, you've talked about knowledge, in the brief time we've been on this morning, and I think education and knowledge are absolutely keys to, in fact, chapter 11 of my book, as we've talked before, we have the basis that are necessary in order to preserve the nation. And, you know, in the entire book, chapter 11 is titled "Of Education and Freedom." And if you want to take off on that tangent a little bit today, boy, I'll tell you, I think it's so critical. You know, Hosea said,
"I want to, but I want to, but I want to put it in perspective of a couple of stories to underpin the discussion, if we can, Dr. Bradley." And I'll give you the first one, and then we can continue on your on chapter 11 of your book as well. But here's the headline that kind of relates to this. I don't know if you know, but Dr. Robert Malone got shut down on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else now. Because he says, even though he's one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccine technology, he says it's not safe for children. Don't do it. And even Dr. Ben Carson has said that. We've talked about that. But Dr. Malone got shut down. But Joe Rogan, a podcaster, new media, if you will, a pretty big guy, had on Robert Malone, and they had a real breakdown discussion. Well, since that discussion, the social media crowd is now saying that Dr. Malone and Dr. Fauci should have a live town hall meeting. They need to put the facts on the table and let the public ask questions. They say Fauci would never in a million years agree to hold a televised debate with Dr. Robert Malone or Dr. Peter McCullough on COVID-19 and the vaccines. So you got to ask yourself why that is. But they say, hey, if Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, if they want to redeem themselves, now's the time. Have an open debate. Let Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone on one side, Fauci and whoever he chooses on the other side, let's have an open debate. Let the people ask questions. And let's just have a throwdown in transparency. That's pretty big in terms of their call. Now, I don't think Fauci will ever do it, but nevertheless, you see those who don't want to go along with the mainstream press taking on the mainstream like we've never seen before. But this can only result in good, Dr. Bradley.
You know, as much as I hate to stand in line, you know, anybody that's been in the service can kind of identify with what I'm saying, but I'd stand in line for that event. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, you get, you know, we used to always say, get all the liars in the same room and let's banter this about. And pretty soon, I think the truth would prevail. The only concern I would have about it is that they have such a phony baloney moderator in it, like they do in the presidential so-called debates where the softballs are thrown to all of the establishment candidates and they completely avoid and evade the real issues. But I would like to see a true open discussion occur in a public setting that would allow the facts I'm talking about. I'm not talking about supposition and political agenda and narrative and spin and all that kind of stuff, because there hasn't been any, I emphasize any, science in what's been brought forth by Fauci and his crew. They've completely, and I say this often, they and the CDC and the National Institute of Health and the FDA and the WHO have all lost all credibility because they play a political narrative and they don't use a scientific basis for the way things they bring forth. I would love to see something like that, but as you so astutely point out, the chances of that happening are slim and none because those that are controlling the narrative at this point are doing such a magnificent job of filtering truth out, and their message prevails at the expense of truth. So I'd love to see it, though. Let's see if we can encourage that kind of movement. Boy, if it ever happened, like I say, I'd stand in line to watch that.
The other thing is they know the truth. That's the problem with Fauci and Biden. They know the truth. They know that the vaccines don't work. They know the dishonesty of their lack of science narrative. They know the truth. So anyway, I appreciate Joe Rogan being willing to have on Dr. Robert Malone and telling the truth. I believe Joe Rogan is to some degree a truth teller, and I'm grateful for that. I appreciate people calling for the open discussion. I really like this phrasing, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a live town hall meeting. Let's put the facts on the table and let the public ask questions. Let's have an open debate, a transparent debate about this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's really deal with these facts. And you got to ask yourself, why won't they do it? Because they know. And that's why education is so critical, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll get back to this, Dr. Bradley. That's why education is so critical. You can't make the right decisions if you don't know, if you don't have the information and knowledge. Most of us aren't scientists. Most of us are not medical experts. And so we can be led around by the nose by dishonesty if we're not very careful. And that's why transparency and accountability is so critical. Now, let's get back to chapter 11 of your book, because I think it's absolutely related. So we're talking about To Preserve the Nation, the book, right? And we're talking about chapter 11. What's it called again?
Of Education and Freedom.
Education and Freedom.
Of Education and Freedom. You know, it's interesting. Anciently, Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah made a similar statement. Thomas Jefferson said, a nation that expects to be ignorant and free expects what never was and never will be. And while they did not write federal government or national government or general government, however term you want to use, general government is a more correct term, because we are a kind of a hybrid federal and national government, but we don't need to get into that discussion and explain why that is. But the point of the matter is that the general government,
Dr. Bradley, 1 second. We'll be right back.
Okay.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
And
we can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about To Preserve the Nation, the incredible book and constitutional series. It's for homeschoolers and more. It's a whole packet, ladies and gentlemen. Live lectures on DVD, the book, and a whole lot more called To Preserve the Nation. But it's dedicated to restoring the founding principles of the United States Constitution. We're talking about Chapter 11 of Education and Freedom. And you were talking clearly about in Isaiah, hey, we're not going to be saved any faster than we have knowledge. If we lack knowledge, we're going to suffer and lose liberty big time, Dr. Bradley.
Absolutely right. And, of course, the second witness on that would have been Isaiah, both Hosea and Isaiah. As I said, Thomas Jefferson said, a nation that expects to be ignorant and free expects what never was and never will be. And in the chapter, we compare and contrast. I like to teach that way. I like to look at the original way of doing things And in this case, we're talking about the founding era of the nation. And then we look at what we're doing today. And the delta, the difference between those things is very telling. And we have a large segment of my chapter is focused on, you know, the new humanist philosophy that is taught. The humanists call themselves, those that are really into it, call themselves religious humanists because it is a faith-based belief system, although there's no God. It's a, you know, their God is the learning and wisdom of man. And, of course, the Marxist philosophy with the 10th point is that they're going to control the education system. And that's basically where we have gone in modern, the whole modern world, but modern America. The United States uses a kind of a Prussian kind of structure for their education system. It's kind of a militaristic that makes good, you know, servants and drones. But the idea of, you know, being able to really learn is far from that. And we've even gone beyond what the Prussians came up with back in the 1800s. And we've gone into this wokeism, you know, the critical race theory in the 1619 project and those kind of absolute nonsensical things. The revisionists have changed so much. But the point of the matter is the founding fathers understood the importance of education. Their first draft of the U.S. Constitution in May of 87, had an educational component. But by the time they signed it in September of 1787, that had been removed from the responsibility of the general government. And I go into the fact that, you know, while education is important, that was not delegated to the national government, the general government, the federal government, however people want to refer to that. It was left in the hands of the states and the people. My emphasis is in the people because the states have largely been captured by the humanists and so state boards of education are vastly controlled by those that have destroyed the founding format of education. At any rate, we look at that in the book. And it's interesting that, and this is kind of a parallel, let's put it this way, we could take a parallel path here, but on the second page of chapter 11, I have a statement made by Thomas Jefferson. And people say, well, why is that there? It talks about immigration. But if you'll, you know, pause for a moment and think about it, it has to do with what you understand is what you support. If I might briefly just quote Jefferson's statement and then maybe tie it into both immigration and education. He said, every species of government has its specific principles. Ours perhaps are more peculiar than those of any other in the universe. To these, nothing can be more opposed than the maxims of absolute monarchies. By the way, I'll parenthetically remark, most of the people that were coming to the new United States at that time were leaving the monarchies of Europe. Today, we might make something the maxims of socialism, because that's where virtually every government on the earth is right now, including largely the United States. But so he's talking about the people coming here are steeped in this philosophy that they left. And then he goes on to say, yet from such we are to expect the greatest numbers of immigrants. They will bring with them the principles of governments they leave, imbibed in their early youth, or if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing as is usual from one extreme to another. It would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. These principles, with their language, they will transmit to their children. In proportion to their numbers, they will share with us the legislation. So they're going to have the vote, okay? They will infuse into it their spirit, warp and bias its directions, and render it a heterogeneous, incoherent, distracted mass. Now, that's a pretty powerful indictment against the philosophies that those that are coming here bring. Now, you could talk about that, how this massive influx
And I want to say to those who come here, the confusion they bring, but also those who have evil designs on the country as well, Dr. Bradley. And that's why that statement's in the position that you put it, because it's a broader discussion than immigrants. It's those who would intentionally defile it as well, right?
Absolutely. And you know, it's the socialists in the Ivy League schools, the Columbias and the Yales and the Harvards and so on, as well as the BYUs and the Utah State Universities that have been largely steeped in this humanist philosophy that currently are educating our children. But the fact of the matter is, see, my most recent immigrant, I had people on the Mayflower, for example. My family did. I wasn't there, obviously. But my most recent family member that immigrated to the United States was my grandmother. She came back in the 1890s, legally, I might add, and in a situation where they were welcome and so on, but they had rules and hoops they had to come through to get in. Anyway, she came from Denmark, and her and her family were completely and unequivocally and unbendingly devoted to embracing their new American homeland. They became Americans heart and soul. They did not, come here to overthrow the concepts of liberty or anything like that. And it was interesting. When I was a little kid, I used to tell her, teach me Danish. I want to learn Danish. She said, no, you're American. You speak English, you know. And that's the philosophy they came with. But that it's so different today. There isn't – now, again, I spoke with a guy yesterday. He's from Ireland. He had just barely got his U.S. citizenship. He and his wife were both Irish, and they'd become American citizens. They did it all legally. Everything was above board. And he was so thrilled. I mean, we're talking – my conversation with him, most Americans would not be able to keep up, tragically. Most Americans have been dumbed down in an education system that is Marxist and humanist in its origins, to the point that that they don't understand the principles that this Irishman and I were exchanging yesterday as we discussed the philosophies of liberty. And he is lamenting how the nation is letting the most magnificent gift, I mean, this gift to be able to choose our agency, if you will, is an eternally important gift. And without it, we are not able to truly be able to exercise what true liberty and proper government, you know, with all its limits and bounds and everything is, because it's like I was, you know, you're aware that I spent a lot of time in the hospital lately, and we had some really great discussions with some of the staff. And I was astonished with some of the people that boy, they want to be free. And one CNA that I dealt with told me that she was from the East Coast. She'd been in New Jersey all her life. And she had had friends of all walks of life, you know, all colors and religions and philosophies. But she thought they were all, you know, they had a great deal of respect for each other. But just lately, she's been discussing with them, and they said, just shut up. You're white. You don't have anything to say in this discussion. I mean, we have closed the doors and barred them. And you compare that to what the American founding fathers, how they brought these philosophies forward. They used to sit in the taverns and around the fireplace in their homes. They talked. They discussed. They exchanged ideas. And out of those exchanges, and of course reading the great books that they used as their mentors, if you will, the Blackstones and the Montesquieus and the Lockes, they were able to put together a unique solution. And we're abandoning those as fast as we possibly can. And so here we have an influx, a couple of million people in 2021 that came in illegally that we know about. And you add that to the 30 million that were already here. I mean, that's fully a 10% of the population of the United States. And sounds like we got to take a break. And here I am rattling on about how we're going.
Yeah, man, time flies when you're having fun. When we get back, there's a huge attack of Donald Trump. I don't care about that attack. I think it's all political theater. But I want to talk about the real underpinnings of the discussion with Dr. Bradley in light of education being so critical. We'll do it in seconds on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Of all of the American deaths that occurred at Pearl Harbor in 1941, September 11th, Vice President Kamala Harris says January 6th was just like that.
December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th, 2021.
It should be noted the only person shot and killed January 6th was an unarmed Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt. The shooter, a Capitol Police officer, will not face any charges. Heavy snow leads to a 75-vehicle pileup on Kentucky's I-75 overnight, as more than 100 million Americans coast-to-coast are under weather alerts from multiple winter storm systems. Out west, avalanches are expected in the Cascades, Olympics, and Mount Hood. In the east, the tri-state area of New York is getting heavy snow and is expected to last for most of the day. USA Radio News.
I know you've been waiting a little bit longer than normal.
Jen's manicure spot needs an extra pair of hands.
Who's at the front desk right now?
Someone who's handy with everything from nail files to spreadsheet files.
Deidre's not coming in today, but we have that whole bachelorette party.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen temporal scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
After American school systems received hundreds of billions of dollars last year to ensure schools were safe for kids to get back into the classroom, many school districts that took the money are choosing to stay closed.
Chicago Public Schools canceled classes once again after the district and teachers union failed to agree on whether to allow remote learning during a spike in COVID-19 cases. The Chicago Teachers Union voted to refuse to return to in-person classes after the winter break, taking issue with the COVID-19 guidelines and safety measures. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot called the CTU vote against in-person learning an unlawful unilateral strike. She said, "We are standing firm and we are going to fight to get our kids back to in-person learning, period." From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Thank you for listening and a TGIF to you, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, so much news, so little time to report. Wow. By the way, we'd like to thank BrideonRadio.com for carrying the broadcast. Thank you so much. And to all you listeners on Brideon, welcome to the Liberty Roundtable Live family. It's myself, Sam Bushman, your host, co-host of the Brideon TV show, the Sheriff Mac show on Tuesdays as well. So check that out. But Brideon Radio doing a phenomenal job carrying the second hour of the two-hour Liberty Roundtable Live. They carry us Monday through Friday. The show's 2 hours on Monday through Saturday. But nevertheless, Brideon doing a great job. We appreciate them. Now, also on the bottom of the hour news, there's so many things they mentioned to discuss. I'll only pick one of them. I highlighted the headline. They said teachers' unions and stuff are keeping thousands of schools closed. So my headline says, great news, teachers' union keeps thousands of government schools closed. That is good news, isn't it, Dr. Bradley?
It certainly is. Now, it probably isn't any great secret that we homeschooled our children, but there was a time, I used to speak at a lot of homeschool conventions around the country, and it was grand and glorious to see parents taking their responsibility, and it is truly a parent's responsibility. It is not the state's, and the state has abrogated and basically captured it to the point that they take preeminence over the parents. And so it's a tragic travesty, again, in America. But we homeschooled our children, and, of course, parents can band together. We had a co-op that we taught in. Anyway, I used to have the impression that homeschoolers were the hope of America. But I always had a kind of a nagging concern that is coming to fruit, I'm sorry to say. But as the homeschool movement grew, the establishment says, oh, they saw this as an opportunity, of course. Let us help you. We will put together online learning that we can provide you. I mean, if you embrace this, we will send you the learning material. It will be free of charge. Of course, it's not. The taxpayer pays for it. It will be free of charge, and you can register your kids on this online learning, and you can it's as simple, at least as cheap, as going to the education system, the establishment brick-and-mortar place, and let us help you. And so by this approach, they are capturing this movement that held so much promise that I'm afraid that I see children coming through that program today are being indoctrinated every bit as much as the children that were in the education system, and the philosophies that are promoted in the mainstream education system are now being promoted by people that are sucker punched into going into this new system. So I would say, take your responsibility seriously. You took on God's greatest gifts, children, and it's your duty to educate them and teach them the correct principles that will allow them to become everything that God sent them upon the earth to become, and will not allow them to be distracted, diverted, and destroyed by the philosophies of Marx and Dewey in the education system. Now, of course, there's a whole bunch of inheritors of Marx and Dewey now that are promoting stuff in the country. But the point of the matter is, it all is satanic in its origins. So I say, be wise. Look at the great classical works. You know, in my classes that I've taught, I taught Marxism. And you say, oh, my goodness, not you. No. The people need to understand what it is, but it's always in that compare and contrast approach. If there's a humanistic perspective,
they need to
understand.
Hold on. Let's be clear. Dr. Bradley didn't teach Marxism because he believes in it. He taught Marxism with the understanding of how evil and satanic and wrong and wicked that it really is. And so you got to understand the matrix as it really is. But he taught it in the proper reference point. There's nothing wrong with teaching about Marxism. It's how it's taught, and it's the reference, the moral fiber of, or the moral compass of those teaching it, that is really the issue here.
Well, the frame of reference, the context. See, in my book, I speak of communism, Marxism. I've got a chapter called All Revolutions Are Not Created Equal. We look at the different revolutions that have happened down through history. How unique and rare was the American Revolution. And we show how tyranny normally comes out of revolutions and how tragic that travesty is. But the point of the matter is, if you learn, we review things like Darwin's theories, and that we could go through a lot of the different false philosophies that are out there. But to show, I mean, there's magnificent literature that has been written that debunks the falsehoods that are taught by Darwin, for example. And if people are exposed to say, oh, yeah, I've read The Voyage of the Beagle, I've read Darwin's books on the origin of man. Yeah, I have. But I've also read the counterpoints and how they're debunked by the words of those that promote those philosophies. So we have become a nation, largely, that is in full embrace of the Marxist humanist world, and the mechanics and so on of reproduction, for example, were taught, but nothing whatsoever to do with the moral character that's necessary for the use of that reproductive power that God granted us to continue the human race, and as a gift for bringing his children, his spirit children, to the earth to be housed in bodies that are created in a loving family setting and so on. I mean, the whole thing has been perverted, from each according to his ability, to each according. Say again?
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead and finish.
Well, I was just going to say, the you know, the philosophy of from each according to his ability, to each according to his need, is a Marxist philosophy. It is not an Americanist philosophy. And the thing that really concerns me is that General Milley, who's a Joint Chiefs of Staff head in the States now, he's just thrilled that critical race theory is being taught in the military academies. And as you look at it, it's a divisive, destructive. It's not being taught in the context of what we were just speaking about. It's being taught as, oh, ain't it awful, you white guys are to blame for everything, instead of recognizing how to destroy and defeat this critical race theory. Milley's ilk are bringing it forth in a destructive way that divides and conquers the nation ultimately in the Marxist approach to, you know, they use conflict to destabilize a nation and then they overthrow it. That's just
all
the
right,
way
let's
they
talk
do business.
About, let's talk about that conflict in detail, ladies and gentlemen. Look, Dr. Bradley's book and collegiate lecture series to preserve the nation is literally a call to action, ladies and gentlemen. The statesmen of the caliber of the American founding fathers must be raised up. The timeless wisdom that established the United States must again be vigorously applied. The foundational principles must be learned, understood, and embraced. The results will be as they were in the beginning of America, where we may become the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. It is the intention of this lecture series, Preserve the Nation, to bring about a restoration. Okay? Now, we're talking about To Preserve the Nation, chapter lecture 11 of Education and Freedom. And here's the reason that I highlight all that. One, I want to point you to the website, freedomsrisingsun.com, so you can get, you know, a copy of the lecture series. But here's what's going on right now. As I mentioned, Donald Trump is being attacked by Biden, saying he caused the insurrection and all that. But in the big battle, in the big discussion, emerges this issue that I think is really critical. Even Jimmy Carter dusts off the mothballs and everything else. Jimmy Carter, they say, warns that America's democracy is at risk as the nation teeters on a brink of widening abysses. The 39th president gets trotted out now and says partisanship threatens to collapse the foundations of our security and our democracy with breathtaking speed. And you say, well, Jimmy Carter's goofy. Well, Joe Biden teaming up with Jimmy Carter now. And Joe Biden, literally as he attacks Trump, says this. He calls it a dagger at the throat of democracy. American democracy is at stake. Democracy was attacked, simply attacked. The will of the people was under assault. The Constitution, our Constitution, faced the gravest of all threats. But law enforcement officials saved us. With the rule of law on that day, our democracy held. People endured. We the people prevailed. Anyway, they go on, but they highlight democracy. I've heard it so many times in the last few days, it makes me sick. We'll talk about it.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Thank you.
parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden both lie and say there's a dagger at the throat of democracy. Our democracy is under the greatest threat ever because of January the 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, how can we have a dagger at the throat of democracy when we don't even have a democracy, Dr. Scott Bradley?
Well, there's so much so many strings to pull on in that. I have a section in my book called The Democracy Deception, in which we basically review the falsehoods that have been so powerfully promoted in the nation today about this falsehood. But for Biden to be taking this Jimmy Carter approach, I mean, I guess that we should expect it. I mean, thinking back, you know, the democracy thing, you think about what happened during Carter's administration. I mean, the inflationary forces that were there. I bought a house during his administration, and I paid the best interest rate I could get was 14%. And it was like, holy cow. I mean, do the math, people. I mean, 12% is 1% a month on the unpaid balance, and so we're paying over that just in interest. And so the inflationary forces that Joe Biden is encouraging and the Jimmy Carter democracy concept, yeah, they very much they're cut from the same cloth. By the way, you know, Carter's still alive. He's 97 years old now, for crying out loud. But at any rate, the deception that's being told, the Biden, the Kamala, and all those clowns that currently sit at the head of the government, it is absolutely absurd to think that they even get any time on the media to promote their drivel. But this whole thing is an agendized process that you talk about trying. Okay, let's just say for a second, let's walk the democracy thing out. But what had happened in the 2020 election, I am absolutely convinced, is that the election was stolen from the people. And so whether you call it a democracy or a republic, it had been a complete fabrication of an outcome. And, of course, that's been going on for many, 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 many years. We could talk back clear back to the founding era about that, the effort to manipulate or control elections. But you look at the election of 1948, where Lyndon Johnson stole the election in Texas, and it's well documented. I mean, anybody that's willing to look at the facts would say, yeah, that's just the way it is. It was stolen. But he would have never been the president of the United States had he not stolen that. I mean, these elections have consequences, and they, over the long term, they have been very destructive of this republic. Now, what happened in the 2020 election has been, it's immeasurable how damaging that has been. And for them to deflect, it's the magician. As his right hand is flourishing in the air above his head, watch the left hand. The left hand is where things are going, and they're trying to redirect our attention to this January 6th, 2021 thing. And what has been happening behind the scenes is absolutely destructive, and we as Americans need to wake up to that and say, wait, wait, wait. Every action that's being taken by this current administration, maybe I overstate it slightly, but probably not. I guess I will stand by saying every action of this current administration violates the foundational principles of this nation to the point that they're illegal, they're unjustified, they're incompetent. I mean, they're, every aspect of it is destructive of the republic, and they're they're pointing to that January 6th thing. It's just appalling to me that now, they're flourishing their hand.
Here's the point I want to get at. Some would say, oh, come on, Sam, we have a democratic republic, and you're just talking semantics here. We have elements of a democracy. Everybody knows we have a republic. It's no big deal. But I say it's a huge deal. It is not just semantics. These words have meanings, and the form of government known as a democracy, our founding fathers jettisoned as fast as they could. Yes, we have some democratic principles, but we don't even have a democratic republic. We have a constitutional republic, and the rule of law and the pointing to God matters. Now, just because there's some democratic principles involved in the checks and balances, that doesn't mean that we have a democracy at all. This is not just semantics. This is a fundamental core principle understanding that you must have about this, or you will absolutely be let off the cliff like lemmings. Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting to me that the revisionists have coined the term democratic republic. The founding fathers never, in all of my decades of study, ever called it a democratic republic. And in fact, when Edmund Genet came from France as an ambassador and started democratic republican clubs in America, Washington and Jefferson responded, they were livid, and those Democratic Republican clubs died. The founders did not use that term that was put in by later revisionists. And it's interesting to me that in the opening moments, literally, of the 1787 convention in May, Edmund Randolph got up and discussed why the convention had been called. It was to get rid of the follies of democracy. From the very moment they have understood what they were creating, and that from the very beginning, you cannot say that it entered into it at all. Now, again, I've got a segment in my book called The Democracy Deception. And this is done because Marx and Lenin and Mao and Woodrow Wilson all promoted the idea of a democracy.
And Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden, right?
Right. It's a stepping stone to communism. And Marx and Lenin and Mao were very, very vocal about that. It's an interim step to the implementation of full-blown communism. And so we're on thin ice. And the American people, where you have a Kamala and a Biden, And all of the newscasters and all of the educators, I mean, almost without exception, are promoting this democracy deception. And words have meanings, and those meanings can be known if you're willing to examine them. And the democracy is not what the American founding fathers established. And you know, when I have these discussions with socialists and so on, they say, oh, well, obviously they didn't like democracy. They were tyrants. They were these elitist white guys that were setting up something that was in favor of them. No, it's because it allowed limited government with boundaries, checks and balances that kept the deception or the tyranny of the masses from happening. Because if you have a democracy, if some kind of demagogue can get up and promote the idea of something, and I could give you lots of examples, and I know we're almost out of time, But I use these examples to teach young people about how when you allow the majority to rule, how the minority loses their rights. And just in brief, I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes when I have a few hundred young people, I'll look for the smallest person. I'll say, come up here. It's usually a little girl, you know, 13, 14 years old. And I, you know, we talk and we say, let's say Sally here had $500 and I wanted to take it. Would that be right? No. Well, let's vote and take it. We'll all go out and get a Happy Meal or something like that with it. Let's do that. And I kind of whip up the enthusiasm about that. And pretty soon everybody's on board and they vote, majority rules, to take this little girl's $500. And then I say, is that right? They say, well, no. Why? Because it's her money. I say, so you mean to tell me that if the majority votes, they can't take it? No, you can't. Well, see, little kids, young people, teenagers, can understand this. But that's exactly what we do in America. We vote the majority to take from other people that which is not theirs. And we violate the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. But we do it with our agent, the government. And so that's just one example that can easily be pointed out, how just because a majority selects a process, and that's what democracy is, majority rules. It is a tyranny of the masses. And if you get the majority going down the wrong path, it ultimately and finally results in tyranny. Well, that's what communism ultimately becomes, because, you know, you have basically all individual rights are destroyed. And so, anyway, it's so
And that's why our founders seen. Said, that's why our founders said you had a republic if you can keep it. They understood that it was a constitutional republic. It was not a democracy at all. They warned against democracies. They stood against democracies. They did everything they could to shut down this complete democratic idea. They knew about democracies before our government was created, and they rejected them intentionally. We have a constitutional republic. When you pledge allegiance to the flag, you do it to a republic, not a democracy. This is not a discussion of semantics and hyperbole. This is a concrete, principle-based reality discussion. If the American people don't understand the principles of a constitutional republic, we will lose it. And what you have is you have the convention on the states and everybody else rallying for this democracy idea, because then they say, hey, we just need a say in things. What you don't understand is you will have no say. The majority will rule by the elite, and they'll use democracy to deceive you out of the checks and balances that make America great. We need to return to these checks and balances, because that's where appropriate power is put in check. That's where democracy is stopped in its real imaginations. We've got to return to this understanding, Doctor.
Well, there's no question. And in fact, you bring up these convention of states people and so on, these people that want to rewrite the Constitution. And unfortunately, and I've examined their philosophies very carefully, and I've put together many, many presentations in regard to it, testified often before legislatures against it. And basically, many of them, even if they're well-intended, they want to return to something that's analogous to the original Constitution, Articles of Confederation in the United States, which was fatally flawed. The American founders understood that. That's why they gathered in 1787, was to correct those fatal flaws. But those guys want to go back to something that we have had experience with, we've failed, and they kept the states and the people too much in the loop in terms of, see, we by our ratification process gave our consent to be governed by the limited powers and authority and delegated responsibility that went to the general government. And they're wanting to reincorporate into it the failed philosophies of the Articles of Confederation and other democracy-laden concepts. And ultimately and finally, we will lose this great republic. And ultimately and finally, it will become a political morass that every step of the way has got the raucous voice of democracy in it instead of the steady hand that the Founding Fathers put at the beginning. This general welfare clause had to do with predictable, stable government. And it's just that they're going to destroy that. And anyway, that's where we're going with this, whether it's Kamala or Biden or these so-called conservatives.
Ladies and gentlemen, the key is, you know, you get the book and the lecture series to preserve the nation. The key is you understand these principles and we can save ourselves. But if we don't understand these principles, for lack of knowledge, we will absolutely be destroyed. Our prayers, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our efforts are in repenting and turning to God for his protection and blessings, doing all that we can do, and then trusting in God Almighty to make up for our inadequacies. It's through justice and mercy of Christ, after we do all that we can do, those are the things that God asks us to do. That is where success lies. Final word, Dr. Bradley, you got 10 seconds.
Okay, well, listen, people, the only way we're going to save this is by going back to the foundation, and the foundation of this whole process in this nation is God.